No matter where you live in Australia, you've likely heard about the spate of thunderstorm asthma cases that hit Melbourne this week. It's a relatively rare, although not unheard of, phenomenon, and one that's highlighted how emergency services have been pushed over capacity to respond to such a high number of calls after four people, very sadly, devastatingly lost their lives, while three people remain in critical condition in hospital. That's because there were delays with ambulances, because there was such a spike in calls as a result of this. Deakin University's Dr. Philip Taylor has been studying the factors that contribute to thunderstorm asthma, knows a lot about it, and can walk us through it. Dr. Taylor, thank you for your time. What exactly happens throughout spring to make an event like that possible?
Oh, well, it's quite a number of factors, as usual, did coincide to make this event occur. First of all, we had a lot of rain throughout the winter, which made our grasses grow quite long, much, much more production of pollen than we would normally have. And then on the day where we had this very, very high pollen count with the hot weather leading up and very stable weather, and so with the thunderstorm rolling in across Victoria, it was able to pick up a lot of these pollens. That's sort of laid out all the events were in place for the event to take place this time.
What sets thunderstorm asthma apart from just regular asthma and hay fever?
A thunderstorm is defined by very strong outflows of air, which they come from the cloud, they hit the ground and they spread out. And it's also combined with electrical activity. And I've been replicating these thunderstorm events under a microscope with the fresh pollen, trying to get them to rupture, trying to repeat the mechanism, and then adding that into our atmosphere and working with atmospheric scientists to understand the entire model so that I could eventually get around to predicting when these might occur.
Victorian emergency services weren't prepared for the number of calls they received as a result of these weather conditions. But surely this can't be the first time this has actually happened. Why? When was the last time? Why is there such a, well, what I see is a lack of planning around potential spikes?
Say last month my student was talking about this, and we had a reasonably well-attended seminar. But if it was happening today, it'd be very, very well attended, a lot of people listening. So it's the very rare occurrence of this event which drops off the interest. The last one was about 2011. It was much smaller. That very long drought we had, that wiped out a lot of the hay fever and asthma and took us back to 2000. Before that, it was occurring around about every 5 years. All indications suggest that the frequency may increase.
Yeah, so how likely are we to see these conditions again? Because you've just talked about the history. It doesn't sound that rare to me.
With the likely projection of wetter winters and more unstable springs and that instability expressing itself as more thunderstorms, if these are the accurate projections that we're looking at, then we're likely to see it occur much more often and with greater frequency. And we certainly need to get a better reporting out there.
Yeah. I just have a specific question. I have a friend who suffered through this and had very, very, you know, basically an asthma attack and acute breathing problems, but had never had asthma before. That's pretty alarming, isn't it? If people can get this kind of condition, even though this has not been something that they've ever experienced before.
If they've experienced hay fever before, that would certainly be an indicator. If there's no wheezing or other source of symptoms like that. But yes, it's such an extreme event. This is such a very unusual atmospheric event. It's attracting a lot of different attention, and it must be producing very, very high concentrations of these fragmented pollen allergens in this, what I believe to be a very short, intense wave that sweeps across the land.
Well, thank you so much for your time explaining it. It's certainly very sad for the four people who have lost their lives as a result of this.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much.
And that's Dr. Philip Taylor there. He's studying the factors contributing to the phenomenon of thunderstorm asthma.